Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, welcome again to our series in the book of Proverbs tonight. So we're continuing on in the book of Proverbs. And today, tonight we're looking particularly at the idea of wisdom and friendship. And I'm excited about that because I don't think it's a space we often think about as a church family, wisdom and friendship. And in particular, tonight I want to look at four ways that Proverbs helps navigate a world of people. And the first thing that Proverbs does is it shows us the value of friendship. And in fact, I think we know this already, don't we, from the very beginning, from the very opening pages of the Bible, the very beginning of the story, where we read that God's making the world, and over again, we read that God saw what he had made, and he said it was good. But before the fall had entered into the world, before there was ever sin, when everything was still perfect, it comes as a bit of a surprise, I reckon, after all this affirmation of good, 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 very good, that we hear God declare something not good. Can you remember that? Chapter 2, verse 18, it's not good for man to be alone. And I think we all know this from experience. It's interesting that AI, one of the top uses for AI is companionship. We long, don't we? We hunger, crave acceptance, affirmation, commitment. And we want someone to be with us, to talk to share our lives with. And so in chapter 18, verse 1, we saw last week, it says that the person who isolates himself seems to be seeking his own desires and is breaking out against all sound judgment. There's something defiant, it seems, about, against common wisdom, against what's sensible, even what's right, about the person who distances himself from others and pulls away from people and relationships. But oil and perfume, we read tonight, make the heart glad. And the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. We can't stand to be alone for too long. We feel that. We know that's not how we're meant to be. But there's something sweet, isn't there? Something gladdening to the heart about real and good friendship. And the Bible affirms in chapter 18 of Proverbs, verse 24, that there is actually a friend who sticks even closer than a brother. So for all those years climbing trees together and riding bikes, for all those shared experiences of youth and family in-jokes that only you get and your brother gets, it seems that there is a friendship that can trump family. You've probably seen the kind of film where there's a young man who falls head over heels madly in love for a beautiful young woman and he marries her. And then no sooner are they married than he's whisked off to war. Have you seen that kind of film? And the film takes us then, for the rest of the film, is him in the trenches in the midst of warfare. And at the end of the film, he returns home. But it's as if she doesn't know him anymore. He's a different man now. He's changed. He's gone through kind of another world and another experience, and he's seen things, brutality, and things he could hardly even explain or begin to explain as he comes home. And then there's this moment, isn't there, in the film where you realise that it's actually now the mate in the trench who, in a strange but different way, is actually closer than the family he so desperately wanted to return to. Isn't that bizarre? The very family that he fought for, the family whose photo he held close to his chest. It's almost as if he's estranged from them, but there's a mateship that's been forged in the trenches, and now he feels more at home having a conversation with a fellow soldier. Well, that's an extreme example, isn't it? But there is a friendship that is closer than a family relationship, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And so Proverbs is showing us the beauty of like perfume and the strength and closeness of friendship that's actually very valuable and very rich, isn't it? It's exposing that for us. And then secondly, the book of Proverbs, I think, is trying to save us from friendships that will destroy us. That is, I think Proverbs is telling us who in this world we are to avoid. So have a listen to Proverbs chapter 1. This is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. The father says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason, like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit,' we shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We'll have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. For their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. But in vain a net is spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood, and they set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors." Can you hear Proverbs trying to save us? The peer pressure, the pull of someone who's greedy for unjust gain and wants you to run with them. Or listen to Proverbs 22, verse 24. It says, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare." And yet you and I both know those kind of people, don't we? People who are greedy for gain, pressuring us to join with them in their pursuits. Angry people who can sometimes be nice. And it's a strained pull in our relationship to actually want to be in their good books. But Proverbs is warning us, don't get entangled, don't ensnare yourself. So that's, if you like, the pull of peer pressure and men. But then listen to Proverbs chapter 9. "For at the window of my house," this is verse 6, "I looked out through my lattice, and I've seen among the simple, I've perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near the corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market. And at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him. And with a bold face she says to him, 'I had to offer sacrifices, and today I've paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I've found you. And I've spread my couch with coverings, coloured linens from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon he'll come home. With seductive speech she pursues him. With her smooth talk she compels him. And all at once he follows her. As an ox goes to the slaughter, as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, oh my son, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. I think this is one of the greatest contributions of Proverbs to the Bible. 9 chapters of a father talking to his son about women, lust, and sexual sin. And through powerful imagery, like what we've just read, through unforgettable stories, through earnest pleading, Proverbs is seeking to save us from friendships that will destroy us. But not only that, it's also instructing us towards friendships that will enrich us. I'm not naturally drawn towards difficult conversations, but Proverbs says things like this: faithful are the wounds of a friend. The sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom. I tend to think of friendship in terms of those with whom I agree and those who bring affirmation into my life. But I think Proverbs is challenging my definition of a friend and stretching it out broader to include a friend who would wound me with his words as he seeks to speak tough truths into my life. And perhaps that is because, more than anything else in the book of Proverbs, it's urging us to make friends with wisdom herself. So listen to chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gains understanding. For the gain from her is better than gold, than the gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing, listen to this language, nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. So chapter 7, verse 4 says, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend. Proverbs encouraging us to forge friendships that will enrich our lives. And isn't it beautiful that Proverbs ends with an acrostic from a mother to a son? It's an alphabet poem of the lifelong friendship the mother envisages and longs for her son to find. It's the ABCs, if you like, of what to look for. It's not the wayward woman that the father warned the son about in chapters 1 to 9, but it's the woman who fears the Lord, chapter 31, verse 30. I don't think it's a chapter intended for a women's conference, but rather for a boy, for a youth, for a young man. It's a memory cue from a mother who cares. And what a woman she is. So Proverbs shows us the value of friendship. It warns us against friends that would ruin our lives. It highlights the kind of friendships that are going to enrich our lives. But it also helps us to be a better friend. So don't just think about friends to avoid and friends to look for. I think it's helpful to ask the question, what kind of friend am I? So here's some verses from the book of Proverbs to reflect on together tonight. Whoever covers an offence seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. A friend loves at all times, and many seek the favour of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. And he who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, well, he will have the king as his friend. Are they things that characterize you in your friendships? Covering an offense because you seek the love in the relationship? Or are you repeating the matter and separating the friendship? Are you the kind of friend who loves at all times? And are you the kind of generous person that other people actually want as friends, as a friend? And are you seeking a heart that loves purity so that out of that heart then comes generous speech such that will bring you into the company of, well, even kings, according to Proverbs? Covering an offense, loving at all times, being generous, and a pure heart that gives forth gracious speech. I think as Proverbs is pointing us over and over again, like all of the wisdom literature, Job, Song of Songs, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, all of these books and Psalms are pointing us over and over again to the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom. Well, who is the Lord? It's pointing us, isn't it, to Jesus, who gives us the most perfect example of friendship. But strangely, he gained a reputation for forming friendships with the very people Proverbs warns us against. Have you ever thought of that? So people said of Jesus, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. What was Jesus doing befriending the Proverbs avoid list? Well, Jesus tells us that wisdom is justified by her deeds. And so it is. For now Jesus is able to cover our offences, to love us at all times, and to speak graciously to us. Because he came to us, and like the best of friends, initiated a relationship. He chose us. And then he told us everything the Father had told him. Doesn't friendship, well, that's what is needed for friendship, isn't it? That open communicating of oneself, that sharing of oneself, Jesus pours out everything from the Father to us. And now, because of that, he doesn't just call us servants anymore. He calls us friends. And then, actually underneath and for this very cause to make us friends, he shows us the greatest love a friend could ever show, doesn't he? As he lays down his life for his friends. Do you know this friend? Now that you're secure in your friendship with Jesus, do you realize that you're actually free to risk in your friendships? Because you are so confident in the love of Jesus that you can put yourself out there. You can take that next step in the relationship, in vulnerability, in openness, in risky love. And we don't have to be caught up in always being productive. Now we can just waste time with people. So listen to the words of Drew Hunter. He's a pastor and an author. He's written a book called Made for Friendship, Relationships That Halve Our Sorrows and Double Our Joys. This is what he says. He says, why not establish rhythms for your friendships? That'd be great, wouldn't it? So there's a regularity, there's a calendarization, there's a rhythm to our friendship. Well, we always go there on a Thursday night, or we always come to my place on the weekend. And then why not drop each conversation one notch deeper? So not just about the weather or the sports, you know, the Winter Olympics or your hobbies, but why not drop it one notch deeper? You don't need to go all the way to the bottom straight away, because that could be a bit weird, but why not take it one notch deeper and talk about something that's significant to you? Or ask what's significant for them. And here's a hard one. Overcome our cultural aversion to expressing affection. So apparently, all throughout history, it's been normal to talk about love between friends. But we're the weird ones in 2026 who can't say to a friend, I love you. And if we do, people will read into that more than just friendship. But historically, we're the odd ones out. So how could we work as a culture and a community to overcome our aversion to expressing affection? We don't want to weird each other out, but we could go a notch up, couldn't we? And then Drew Hunter also says, why don't we oxygenate our friendships with affirmation? Breathe words of appreciation into your relationships and your friendships. So why not say to that person, actually, I really value the time we spend. It's only an hour a week, but why not praise them for who they are? Why not tell them something that you admire about them? Oxygenate your friendship with affirmation. Very important when you're going through a bit of tension in a relationship. Does this person like me or hate me? Well, why not oxygenate that relationship and just say, you're a really good friend and I appreciate you and value you. And then fifthly, he says, our schedules are full, aren't they? So why don't you invite friends into what you're already doing? So you have to walk the dog anyway. Why not invite a friend? You have to eat dinner. So why don't you do it with someone? Friendships take time to cultivate and develop, and they take effort and sacrifice to sustain. So why don't you join a church? And find the very greatest friends, Jesus. And fast track your friendships with others. Join a church. And be that perfume, that sweet smelling fragrance. Be that brother who's even, no, not brother, friend, who's even closer than a brother. And be like Jesus. Lay down your life for others in sacrificial love and cover over sin in the relationship. Be willing to forgive and receive forgiveness. Speak graciously. Give generously. Love at all times. And what a way to be a local church on a global mission. What a wonderful message and vision of life. Apparently, we're not very good at doing friendship, and we're not very good at doing close and deep friendship. But wouldn't it be wonderful if people could step into a church community and find, ah, this is what I've been looking for. This is actually what God designed me for back in Genesis 1. Not to be alone, but to be together. A local church on a global mission with good news. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, please make our efforts at friendship fruitful. Please help us to trust you, to be patient, and to keep taking steps towards others in the strength that you give. Thank you for Jesus, who calls us friends. Please forgive us for engaging with friendships that would destroy us. And please help us to forge close friends and so bring glory to you and joy to us and others. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.